I want to take verse 9 as the text tonight. It's breaking into the sentence. It begins in verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by Him. You'll notice that this text in verse 9 sets forth with an intense earnestness the burning desire that the Apostle Paul had in his heart. If there is one thing he desires above all others, if there is one thing that he values more highly, more necessary, more important, it is this: that I may win Christ and be found in Him. To be found in Him. And that's the thought that I want us for a few moments tonight to consider. To be found in Christ. Paul had been taught of God that he must be found in Christ. If he is not found in Christ, then he is lost, and he will be lost eternally. He knew that if he is not found in Christ, his soul would be lost. For outside of Christ, it is impossible to escape the wrath of God against sin. He knew that if he was not found in Christ, then his service would be lost. For outside of Christ, no act of religion or charity or morality can be accepted or received by God. He knew that if he is not found in Christ, then his happiness would be lost likewise. For outside of Christ there is no hope. And where there is no hope, there is no happiness. Only eternal darkness and eternal sorrow. Paul recognizes in this statement his need to be found in Christ. He recognized that he needed to be found in Christ because something or someone was searching after him and would eventually catch up with him and find him. And when that event came, Paul desired with an intense desire to be found in Christ. We do well tonight to ask the question, what or who did Paul think was searching after him that made him say, I desire to be found in Christ. I'm prepared to give up everything else and count it dung as long as I'm found. And when I'm found, to be found in Christ. Who or what was searching after him? Who or what would find him? Death was searching after him. For death is searching after the souls of all men, and it is but a matter of time when death finally and eventually catches up with us. If death finds a man outside of Christ, then its merciless waves will sweep that man into a Christless and a hopeless hell. Paul says here, my desire above all others is that if death comes to me and death finds me, my desire is that it will find me in Christ. He knew also that the judgment day was searching after him, as it searches after the souls of all men. And one day, that great judgment day will find all men. Its approach will awaken the sleeping dead, and all shall rise. The dust
of decayed bodies will be reformed and resurrected, and the departed soul will be reunited with its body, and all shall appear before the judgment throne of God. The judgment day will find every one of us. None will escape. And on that day, Paul had an intense desire that when the judgment day finally found him, it would find him in Christ. This is my desire, he says. This is my longing. I'm prepared to suffer the loss of everything only to be found in Christ. That day will bring a most solemn search. For the Holy Book says that whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And on the judgment day, God will search out every person. He will search out every heart. He will search out every sin. And He will search the Book of Life for the names of men and women, and whosoever's name is not found in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and when I'm found either by death or by the judgment, I will be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This was Paul's desire, to be found in Christ, because he knew that one day he would be found, either by death or by the judgment. But what does it mean to be found in Christ? What does it mean? Paul provides us with the answer to that question in this passage. And I want just to draw from the passage what it means to be found in Christ. You'll notice in the first place, to be found in Christ, a person found in Christ, is a person who has renounced all confidence, all trust in their own righteousness. Paul makes this statement in verse number 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then in verse 9, when he says, I wish to be found in Christ. When I am found in Christ, I will not have mine own righteousness. A person in Christ has given up, rejected, renounced all hope and trust and confidence in themselves and in their own righteousness. The term righteousness has to do with conformity of mind and heart and soul and will and desire and action to the law of God. It is entire conformity to what God's law requires of us. Entire conformity to God's standard, nothing less and nothing else. But alas, many a person is trusting in their own righteousness, their own endeavor, their own effort to conform to God's law. Paul speaks of his own countrymen in Romans chapter 10. He says in verse number 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. But a person who is found in Christ is a person who has rejected and renounced any confidence or trust in themselves, in their own righteousness. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Isn't it interesting there that the term is placed in the plural? It doesn't simply say all our righteousness is as filthy rags, but all our righteousnesses. For not only are people trusting in their own righteousness, they have a plurality of righteousnesses in which they are trusting. What do I mean? There are some people who are trusting in a moral righteousness. Men who have a respect to God's law, the second part of God's law. And they endeavor to be just and sober and temperate and liberal and to love their neighbor and not to do any wrong to their neighbor. They're building a moral righteousness in which they think they will gain acceptance by God and favor on the day of judgment. There are other people who have a religious righteousness. They are resting on religious rites and ceremonies. Their prayers, their reading of the Bible, their observance of sacrifices, or sacraments, their observance of the Sabbath day. Religious righteousnesses. There are people who have a comparative righteousness. Their hope, their confidence is in the thought that they are better than someone else. They're not as bad as someone else. They do more in the way of religion, more in the way of charity, more in the way of morality. They think themselves more righteous than others. Oh, they will readily admit, I'm not perfect. They're not as bold or foolish to say that they are without sin. But nevertheless, they are depending in a comparative righteousness that even though they're not perfect, they're saying to themselves, well, I'm better than that person. I'm more righteous than that person. And they're resting in a comparative righteousness. There are others who have a negative righteousness. And by that we simply mean they're resting in their non-observance of certain vices or certain sins. Their hope for acceptance by God and favor on the day of judgment is that they have not committed certain vices or certain sins. I'm not a swearer. I'm not an idolater. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. And they are trusting. They are trusting in a negative righteousness, a righteousness that has not performed certain vices and sins. There are other people who have a passive righteousness. They believe they will be accepted by God because of what they have suffered in this life. What has been inflicted to them. What they have received passively by way of suffering and affliction and sorrow. And somehow they think that their suffering in this life will make them acceptable to God and earn them favor on the day of judgment. But the Bible says all our righteousnesses, whatever kind, whatever sort they are of, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul had to come to this position, to this place. Previously he himself had a very high confidence in his own righteousness. He lists it there in verse 5. He says, if I could trust in the flesh, I have more reason than many to trust in myself and in my own works. I was circumcised the eighth day. I have observed the seal of the covenant given to Abraham in the Old Testament. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm a true-blooded Israelite. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. That was the most loyal tribe. When the other tribes defected, Benjamin stayed true to Judah. I come from a loyal tribe. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. An outstanding example of what it's meant to be a Hebrew is touching the law Pharisee. I belong to the most strictest sect in Israel. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. touching the righteousness which is in the law as far as its external aspect is concerned. Outwardly, I was blameless. You couldn't find a fault in me. Oh yes, I had reason to have confidence in my own righteousness. But God brought me to the place where I recognized that self-righteousness could not avail on the day of judgment. And that when that great day of judgment comes, there is only one thing that counts. There's only one thing that matters. To be found in Christ. And to be found in Christ, I had to renounce and reject all confidence in myself and in my own righteousness. God shattered all his vain hopes, all his self-confidence and self-righteousness, and showed him that if he was to be saved, then he must reject it all. That's what it means to be found in Christ. Do you know tonight there are two ways to perish? The first way is along the path of open ungodliness, wickedness, rebellion against God. But the second way is along the path of self-righteousness. Men and women trusting in themselves, in their own works, in their own righteousness. Paul says tonight in this passage, if you are to be found in Christ, then you must renounce all confidence in any righteousness produced by yourself. A person found in Christ is a person who has renounced his own righteousness. But notice secondly, a person found in Christ is a person who has received another righteousness outside of himself. It is the righteousness of God. It is the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. It is the righteousness of God by faith. This righteousness that makes us acceptable to God and to His law is not found in ourselves. It is found outside of us. You'll notice it is provided by God in verse 9. It is the righteousness which is of God or from God. The righteousness that God has provided. It is divine in its origin. And therefore, it is a righteousness which God Himself will accept. One which He Himself is satisfied with and only satisfied with. The righteousness of God. It is the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, and the sense there, through the obedience of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ. And that brings us to the very heart of the gospel. This righteousness is wrought by Christ, the very reason for which He came into this world in the flesh. What Adam had failed to do, Christ undertook. Christ accomplished. Adam was given the law to live by, and he failed. And the failure, that act of disobedience brought death. It brought the curse. It brought judgment. But Jesus Christ, when He came in the flesh, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and thereby living a sinless life, a holy life, and offering up an atoning death, He has, by His life and death, provided a righteousness that will make the sinner acceptable to God on the day of judgment. It is the righteousness that is through the faith of Christ. And then you'll notice it is the righteousness which is of God by faith. And the sense there of that little clause at the end, by faith, has to do with the act of believing. It is obtained. It is received through faith. The act of believing on Christ. This righteousness is not earned by the sinner. It is not achieved by the sinner. It is received by the sinner. And it is received by faith. When that sinner believes in the Lord Jesus and receives Him as Lord and Savior, then the righteousness of God, the righteousness which is through the faithfulness of Christ, is imputed, transferred to the account of the sinner. And that sinner who previously was condemned by the law because of his sin, that sinner is now justified, cleared of all guilt, and rendered positively righteous and acceptable to God's law because of the righteousness of Christ. What does it mean to be found in Him? To be found in Him means that we have renounced all confidence in ourselves, all confidence in our own efforts, our own works, our own righteousness. And by faith, we have received the provision that God has made in the person of His Son, resting in His life, His death, His resurrection. It's interesting in that 10th chapter of Romans when Paul refers to his countrymen. He says in the latter part of the verse, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not submitted themselves to submit. You know what that term there indicates? To submit. It suggests the idea of man and his pride, thinking that he's good enough, thinking that by his own efforts he can stand before God and be accepted. God says the only way the sinner will be accepted is when he submits, bows the knee to Christ as the only ground upon which he can be reconciled to God. That's the heart of the gospel. And the only way that you and I tonight will be found in Christ on that great judgment day, the only way that the judgment will find us in Christ, is if we have submitted to Him as our Lord and our Savior, renouncing any confidence in ourselves, placing our sole trust and dependence in what He has done and accomplished in His life and in His death. Oh, this is my desire, Paul says, to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. To be found in Christ is to renounce all confidence in self. It is to receive the provision that God has made in the person of the Son. And therefore, to be found in Christ means that that person can rest safe and secure from every alarm. That's what it means. That's why Paul suffered the loss of all things. That's why he renounced his own righteousness. Because God had taught him, if I am in Christ, I'm safe. I'm secure. The judgment cannot touch me. hell will never receive me. If I'm in Christ, I'm free from the fear of death and judgment and hell.
It's a theme that runs through the Bible like a golden thread running through a tapestry. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's absolute. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Oh, the devil may condemn you, but there's no condemnation. Paul deals with it later on in the 8th chapter. In verse 34 he says, who is he that condemneth? Where is he? Where is my accuser? Where is the one who condemns me? It is Christ that died. There's my hope. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And if I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation. Safe, secure. In Christ. I've used the illustration before of the Passover night when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt. And every firstborn was marked for execution and for death, but God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And I have thought to myself, there may well have been some of firstborn sons in the homes of Israel that night, and the blood was on the door, and yet, as the midnight hour approached, quarter to midnight, the firstborn beginning to tremble, beginning to fear, will I be safe, will I be secure, when the angel of death passes over? But there was no need for fear. There was no need for worry. God had said, when I see the blood, if you're under the blood tonight, you're safe and secure. There's no condemnation. That's why Paul said, I gladly renounce all these things. I give them all up. I count them as dung to win Christ and be found in Him. If I'm in Him, I'm secure. There's no condemnation. None whatsoever. He has received that condemnation at Calvary. He's cancelled it out. He's removed it. He satisfied the law. He has quenched the fire of divine vengeance. In Christ, I'm safe. I'm secure. And if you're in Christ, you're safe. You're secure. There's no condemnation to you. You're absolutely safe to be found in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. A new creation, born of God, with the life of God that can never end, never die, in Christ. Think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ye who sometimes were afar off, now in Christ Jesus are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ, near, so very near, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. No longer afar off, no longer separated, but reconciled in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. But ye are complete in Him. Ye are complete in Him. All you need, if you are in Christ, you have everything that you need.
to bring you from your fallen estate into that state of everlasting glory in Christ, complete. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, what a wonderful statement. Paul says, brethren, comfort yourselves with these words. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You'll notice that death does not sever that union of the believing soul with Christ. No, they're just sleeping in Jesus. And when Christ returns, the Lord will bring them with him. In Christ. Absolutely safe. Safe from the devil. Safe from the world. Safe from persecutions and afflictions. Safe from death itself. Safe from the judgment. Safe from a broken law. Safe from accusing vengeance. Safe in Christ. Do you see now why Paul desired above everything else to win Christ and be found in him? To be found in him means a person can rest safe and secure without a fear at all. Are you found in Christ tonight? Are you found in Christ? That's the question, and that's the greatest need of all, to be found in Christ, renouncing any confidence in your own righteousness, receiving the righteousness that God has provided in Christ by faith. Then you will be able to rest safe and secure, for nothing can touch you when you are safe in Christ. May God bless his word to every heart tonight. And if you're not in Christ, if you're outside of Christ, then you need to come to him by faith and trust him. Receive him. Believe on him. And be found in him. If death were to come tonight, would death find you in Christ? If the judgment day were to be ushered in tonight, would the judgment find you in Christ? It's urgent. Make sure tonight that you're found in Christ, not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of the faith of Christ, the righteousness that is of God by faith. Let's close tonight by turning to 572. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.